A soft buzzer sounded. The door opened, and the director of the CIA rolled out, wrapped in a quilt and looking every day of his 74 years. His handshake was firm, though, probably because of the strain of pushing himself around. Lake followed him back into the room. They sat opposite each other across a very long table that ran to the end of the room where a large white wall served as a screen. After brief preliminaries, Teddy pushed a button and another face appeared. Another button and the lights grew dim. Lake loved it. Push little buttons, high-tech images flash instantly. No doubt the room was wired with enough electronic junk to monitor his pulse from 30 feet.
"Recognize him?" Teddy asked. "He's Natalie Chinkov, a former general, now a member of what's left of the Russian parliament."
"Also known as Natty," Lake said proudly.
"That's him, hardline communist, and right now the most dangerous man in the world."
"Didn't know that." A flick. Another face. This one of stone under a gaudy military parade hat.
"This is Yuri Goltsin, second in command of what's left of the Russian army. Chinkov and Goltsin have big plans."
Another flick. A map of a section of Russia north of Moscow.
"They're stockpiling arms in this region," Teddy said. "They're actually stealing them from themselves, looting the Russian army, and more important, they're buying them on the black market."
Teddy squeezed a button and the wall was blank.
"The coup is right around the corner, Mr. Lake. Our worst fears are coming true. Every aspect of Russian society and culture is cracking and crumbling. Democracy is a joke. Capitalism is a nightmare. We thought we could McDonaldize the damn place, and it's been a disaster. The time is perfect for a new strongman, a new dictator who'll promise to lead the people back to stability. The country is crying for leadership, and Mr. Chinkov has decided it's up to him."
"So the Cold War is back?" Lake said, his words fading at the end.
"There'll be nothing cold about it. Chinkov wants to expand, to recapture the old Soviet Union."
Another map appeared. Teddy didn't miss a word.
"I suspect he'll roll through the Baltic states, toppling governments in Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania. Then he'll go to the old Eastern Bloc and strike a deal with some of the communists there."
The congressman was speechless as he watched Russia expand. Teddy's predictions were so certain, so precise. He flicked, the map changed.
"Here's where we get sucked in."
"Poland?"
"Yep. Poland is now a member of NATO for some damn reason. Chinkov doesn't give a damn about Poland. He just wants to control it. And he wants to destroy NATO."
"He's willing to risk a third world war?" Buttons were pushed. The screen became a wall again. Lights came on. The audio visuals were over, and it was time for an even more serious conversation. Pain shot through Teddy's legs, and he couldn't keep from frowning.
"I can't answer that," he said. "We know a lot, but we don't know what the man's thinking. He's moving very quietly, putting people in place, setting things up."
"What's the timetable?" Teddy shifted again under the quilt, tried another position to stop the pain.
"It's difficult to say. If he's smart, which he certainly is, he'll wait until there's rioting in the streets. I think that a year from now, Natty Chinkov will be the most famous man in the world."
"A year," Lake said to himself, as if he'd just been given his own death sentence. There was a long pause as he contemplated the end of the world. Teddy certainly led him. The knot in Teddy's stomach was significantly smaller now. He liked Lake a lot. He was indeed very handsome and articulate and smart. They'd made the right choice. He was electable.